Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Union Congregational Church on this Memorial Day weekend. Really glad that you're here. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are really glad that you're here. Thank you, Sue, for the lovely stirring music as we started. Really lovely. Just a couple of announcements. Of course, because tomorrow is Memorial Day, our offices will be closed. So if you need to get a hold of me for any reason, you can email me or send me a text, That'll be good. And then, of course, please register for VBS. If your grandchildren need a place to go for the day, if your kids need a place to go for the day, Becky's always looking for volunteers. So even if you yourself need a place to go for the day, please register. Becky and the teams representing the other churches have been doing some really good work, really it's going to be a really great time, and we're so looking forward to it. So what other announcements do we have? Becky, do you have anything? Not today. I probably stole your thunder, didn't I? if there are no other announcements, let's share the peace of Christ with one another.
Good morning. Join me in the call to worship. Many of us have traveled long journeys to freedom. In all this, we know God is with us. And because this is true, we have a task to do. Please join me in the unison opening prayer. God of the Exodus, as you brought people out of oppression and fear, you bring us into new assurance of your love. Help us to trust your presence and share your promises with a hurting world. Amen. Please stand for the opening hymn number 345.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Looks like we're down here talking to the big kids again today, Jacob.
Don't you sort of feel like Mr. Rogers when we do this?
Oh, something. Where's your cardigan?
Yeah, right. Won't you be my neighbor?
So anyway, Jacob gave me a tough task. I wanted to do a Memorial Day theme. And he said, well, you know, make sure you include God in it. And I thought, oh, that's easy. It says in God we trust on the coins. And when we say the pledge, we say one allegiance under God. You know, I thought, oh, this is going to be really easy. I think I spent an hour and a half on this.
Famous last words, right? It'll be easy.
Much easier to do a Sunday school lesson or two than this morning's children's time. So if I bounce back and forth between church and God, you'll know why and you can blame somebody else.
Yep.
So we talked about one of our commandments is to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Okay? And we do that every Sunday by going to church and worshiping God and thanking Him for all our blessings. And we know that Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, and we just did this throughout Lent and Easter, where He made the ultimate, giving up His life for our freedom of forgiveness. And one day a year, so we do that, 52 Sundays a year about, and one day a year we honor Memorial Day. And that's when we set aside time to honor the soldiers that gave us our freedom, like freedom from Great Britain during the Revolutionary War, freedom from slavery through the Civil War, freedom from communism during the Korean and Vietnam Wars. And Memorial Day is about honoring those who didn't come home, and they died while serving our country. And so I was going to talk to kids about ways that they could honor our soldiers and their families, or at least families of these soldiers that died, at the parade tomorrow. When the veterans walk by with the American flag, they could stand up and put their hand over their heart. They could thank a veteran. If they see someone in uniform and know that they served our country, they could thank them for serving our country. And so, to wrap it up, we thank God every Sunday for the sacrifices He made for us. And tomorrow, Memorial Day, we thank those who served our country.
So I'm going to say a quick little prayer. If y'all would repeat after me.
Dear God,
thank you
for the sacrifices
you make for us.
Thank you
for the veterans
and the veterans'
families
who make sacrifices for us as well.
Help us
honor their sacrifice,
be thankful,
and share your love
wherever we go.
Amen.
Thanks, Becky.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Exodus 3, 1 through 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. The country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. In our New Testament reading is John 21, 9 through 19. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, follow me. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words.
Amen. Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
As we are blending our traditions for the summer, having both traditional and media elements, we'll be doing a media song and a clip today. This is Promised Land by Toby Mac.
Promised Land.
this race, broken but I still have faith that this old life is all part of a plan. And I can feel it in my soul, one day I'll stand before the throne with nothing left but hope in these two hands. Through all these seasons, I'm still believing you're my promised land.
Friends, will you join me in prayer? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. And speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So as many of you know, this week I attended a meeting at the Waupun Public Library to speak out against the proposed policies that would either ban or heavily restrict LGBTQ plus literature. And specifically, they were discussing a display policy, whether such literature could be featured for Pride Month, which is coming up next month. First, I want to say that I'm really thankful for the library board and for members of our congregation who have served on that board, whether past and present. But it was something that happened after the meeting that got me thinking for today's sermon. So after the meeting, it was an hour and a half of public comment. After the meeting, I found Rick Van Hoff, who had come with me, and he said, "Want to go to Culver's?" And so we were getting ready to go to go meet Lori at Culver's, and on our way out, somebody I had never met came up to me. He said, "So, you don't believe in the Bible, do you?" Now, I had said a few things. I had made a speech saying that the alto pastor was not the only pastor in this room, and his was not the only theological interpretation in this room. But because of all that, apparently I didn't believe in the Bible. Now, I didn't quite know what to say. I had never seen this man before, I said, "Oh, you don't think I believe in the Bible, huh?" And he said, "Well, that's what you said." And before I was able to engage any further, Rick rebuked my heckler and said some things that I can't repeat in worship, and we left. It wasn't that much worse than it is. that's what happened. And Rick told me I could tell this story, and maybe he didn't know exactly how I was going to say it, but Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I titled this sermon, "The Bible I Believe In," sort of as a tongue-in-cheek response to that man. But it's also true. That moment got me thinking. How did we get to a place where the Bible got so twisted that people use it to justify marginalizing people? Especially when those very people are probably the very same ones that Jesus would have been most drawn to. The man actually called us a lefty church. And he meant it as an insult, because somehow loving others as we have been loved is a leftist ideal in his mind. And I had to chuckle when he said that, because it's like, you don't even know us, do you? In today's gospel, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, you know I love you." And Jesus responds, "Feed my lambs." Then he asks again, and then he asks again. And, you know, Peter's kind of offended by the third time. But of course, Jesus isn't talking just about material food, "Feed my lambs." He's calling Peter and all of us to care for the vulnerable, to align ourselves with people who need God's care and protection the most. And honestly, I think this church does that really, really well. You are good people. You care for people others might cast aside. And I've told you this so many times because I really believe it. And I know that you know what it means to follow God's will, and you actually do it. I believe you're close to the heart of God in very real ways. After God heard the cries of the oppressed in our story from Exodus, and after they reached the promised land, I think that you would have been waiting for those for the people who came from Egypt with a hot dish and a hug. Because that's who you are. That's who you are. And you carry within you countless ways to be somebody else's promised land, a place where they can feel welcomed and loved and supported, just like Toby Mac says in today's media song. So we're going to watch a short clip of an interview. Whoa, that was fast. We're going to watch a short clip of an interview with Nelson Mandela. This takes place after his imprisonment, and he's talking about nonviolence.
We who are congregated here today should reaffirm our undying love for humanity.
For opposing apartheid, Nelson Mandela was a political prisoner in South Africa for 27 years. He was finally released in 1990.
I have spent a long time in prison and wasted away the most productive years of my life. Those conditions would make any man very bitter and his heart to be full of hate.
Did you feel hated? Did you feel that you were the object of hatred, or were you just a prisoner in an impersonal system carrying out the will of the state?
There was a lot of cruelty which was practiced on myself and my colleagues. There were assaults. I was never assaulted. You must also understand that the warders who worked with us are themselves workers, are themselves human beings with problems who are also exploited, the victims of the system. And one of our objectives was to ensure that we improve the relations between ourselves and these workers, help them in their own problems. And in that way, you forget about anything that is negative, like hate. You are dealing with human beings and you wanted to live in peace with these people. You want them also to go and spread the same message to their own people as we want to spread to our own people. And in that situation, it's very difficult to find room for hate.
You're dealing with human beings. And in that situation, it's difficult to find room for hate. So it's one thing to hold personal beliefs about LGBTQ+ folks. Many of us are still on the way with these issues, and not every one of us is ready to wave a rainbow flag in front of the church, and that's okay. It is okay. But what it's absolutely not okay to do is to participate in any kind of hatred. We can't stoop to declaring who is or isn't a Christian based on their beliefs. That's not our role, nor is it reflective of the love that we are called to embody. Now, our church isn't uniformly progressive. Sure, maybe we're more progressive than some churches, but we have a wide spectrum of political views. We have a wide spectrum of ideological views: Republican, Democrat, Independent, Progressive, Conservative, Modernist, Traditionalist, and that diversity is beautiful. It's part of our strength. Because when it truly matters, we come together in powerful ways to live out what it means to follow God. So, what would you do if Jesus said to you, "Do you love me?" How would you respond if he told you, "Feed my sheep"? What kind of discipleship would that call you into? Now, obviously, my heckler has some preconceived notions about our church and the kind of church he thinks we are. But we are much more than all of those labels. If loving our neighbor is a leftist ideal, I sure don't want to be right. If caring for the poor, the oppressed, and the vulnerable is wrong, I don't want to be right. And here's the kicker. Somehow, the same Bible that I believe in is the same Bible that he believes in. He's probably a practicing Christian, and by the grace of God, God loves him just as much as God loves me, and just as much as God loves all of us. So here we are in a time of deep division, asking ourselves, how do we live differently than those who preach exclusion and hate? How do we show that we are Christians by our love and not our legalism? Not everybody is going to speak at a board meeting. Some of you would probably rather die than speak at a board meeting. And that's okay, because you already know what God asks of you. And you show it in so many ways. You make meals for people. You sacrifice for others willingly, just like our veterans did and their families. You volunteer at food pantries. You hop out with Vacation Bible School in a few weeks when it happens. Becky, see what I did there? You remember times when you journeyed from hardship to healing, and you testify how God showed up in those moments. Not all of us show the way of God in the same way. Some of us will be the social justice warriors. Others will be the quiet saints cleaning up the kitchen after everyone else has left. Some of us may not even think of everything we do from a faith perspective, but it's all sacred. These are difficult times, filled with hardship both at home and abroad. So this week, I invite you to consider, what would you do after Jesus told you to feed his lamb? What does the Bible tell you? What does the Bible you believe in tell you to do next? How will you make room for others to experience how the Spirit moves through them and through you? The world needs your light and your love and your labor now more than ever, even if that labor feels like birth pain. You have so much to offer. When I look out at this congregation, I think of all the ways that you continue to bless me and bless each other and bless the world. And for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do, I say thanks be to God. Amen. So now we come into a time of more intentional prayer. As we think of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today, let's take a few moments of silence. Amen. So I have a couple of prayer requests that I was given. Paul Hartel asks for prayers. He is going in on Thursday to see if he needs one final surgery. And the guy has been through surgery after surgery after surgery, and so just ask for prayers for his medical team, prayers for him and his wife Josie, for patience and perseverance. If I say, God in your mercy, will you say, receive our prayer? For Paul, God in your mercy. Prayers for Jim Smith. Winnie let me know this morning that she would like him to be on the prayer list because he has cancer. So prayers for Jim and his medical team. God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring this morning?
Jacob, yes. Janet Gale asks that we pray for Neil Gleason and his family. Neil Gleason's daughter, Emily, died last Sunday. Neil and his family were members of this church. Sadly, his wife, Debbie, and son, Ben, died in 2013. So She's asking for prayers for Neil and Emily's family.
Wow, so much loss for Neil and his family. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
Anything else today?
I'm going to share a joy for Laura and Paul Reynolds. Their son Greg and V got married yesterday, so Paul and Laura are in Milwaukee celebrating that union.
Woohoo! That's wonderful. For marriages and new beginnings, God, in your mercy. Anything else? Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God, in your grace and love, we give thanks for the opportunity to gather here today, to think about all of the ways you sacrifice for us and all of our veterans and their families have sacrificed for us. We give you thanks for the beauty of a new day, for the sunshine after the rain. We give you thanks that we have many things to pray for together, to know that we are a community of faith who prays together. There are many people whose concerns have been spoken. We ask you to be with them. We ask you to be with us as we provide support to them in our own particular ways. There are so many ways that we provide support to one another, and for that we're thankful. We also are mindful of those in our community and in the world who are experiencing their own forms of oppression and might need their own forms of exodus from food insecurity, from poverty, from discrimination, from homelessness, from addiction, from abuse, from war and conflict, and from all of the things that sap joy and sap fullness from our lives, in mind, body, or spirit. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who assures us that he is with us, asks us to feed his sheep in the ways that we can, and teaches us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give if you'd like by putting your gift in the offering plate as ushers come around, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer, may you do so generously for the work of this local ministry and for the work of God's work in the world. Thank you. the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, may these gifts be symbols of liberation for those who are lonely, for those whose hope has run dry, for those in need of what we take for granted. We offer these gifts with humility, remembering our own stories of liberation from difficult situations. We offer these gifts with love and joy in our hearts, knowing that you will multiply them far beyond our imagining. Amen. Our closing hymn is one of my favorites. This is number 350, The Summons. We will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. My friends, receive these words of benediction. Whatever binds you, whatever locks you up, whatever makes you feel backed into a corner, whatever prevents you from fully expressing your spirit can be wiped clean. For we believe our stories can be rewritten each and every day. We know this isn't easy or quick, but let it be a vision of your life resurrected. And now may you go into this world proclaiming liberty in all the ways which you discover you can, for yourself, for others, for the world. And may the God who created you to be unrestrained in your joy and unabashed in your love for others, the Christ who showed you what liberation looks like, and the Spirit who is transforming your life even now, be with you now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.